You're listening to Marketing News Canada, Canada's number one show featuring the brightest minds in marketing, PR, and digital advertising.
Welcome to another episode of Marketing News Canada. I'm thrilled to introduce you to Larry, who's the National Director of Talk Radio for Corus Entertainment. He spent more than 30 years in radio as an anchor, host, programmer, and consultant. 5 years ago, at the age of 45, he was diagnosed with young onset Parkinson's. In 2018, he launched the podcast When Life Gives You Parkinson's, which details his journey with the disease as a guy in his mid-40s with a family and a career. He serves on the Michael J. Fox Foundation Patient Council. He has also been named an ambassador for the 2023 World Parkinson Congress in Barcelona, Spain. In 2020, as COVID began, he and other PD advocates created the PD Avengers, a global alliance of people impacted by Parkinson's and organizations united to work together to add urgency to wellness, advocacy, and research in the cause of putting Parkinson's in the past. We now have 90 plus organizations, partners, 5,000 members representing 83 countries. Incredible. Larry, thank you for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So Corus Entertainment, for those that aren't familiar, tell me about the kind of lineage and family tree of the Corus world.
So the Corus world, it's I'm from the States originally, so I kind of compare it to like a mini Disney. So you think about the Disney Corporation, and they've got an animation studio, so does Corus. They have kids' books. They've got 38 specialty channels on cable TV, so like the Food Network Canada and HGTV Canada, those are all under Corus. Global News is under Corus. And then we also have radio stations on the AM and FM across the country, these 39 radio stations. And there's 9 talk stations, and those are the talk stations I oversee.
It's amazing. And so Vancouver, what would be a Corus talk radio station?
980 CKNW.
Perfect. Okay. And not only do you oversee, so you oversee like the content, the producers, the ad team, that whole world, correct?
Yes. And my background is I was on the air for, you know, 20 some years. And then I became a program director, mainly at sports radio, spent some time at ESPN and actually got some Disney training because Disney owns ESPN. And then I've been in Connecticut, where ESPN headquarters are. Then I went up to LA and ran the station out there for a while. I've been in Seattle. So radio takes you on a journey. And then when I was a consultant, Corus hired me to be a consultant for their leadership group. And so I was there for a couple of years, and then they asked me to join the team.
Amazing. So if we were to look at the, like, call it the family of radio in Canada, we've got Corus would own a bunch, and there's Pattison, I assume, would own a bunch. Who else is
Rogers.
Kind of like in the radio? Rogers, okay, yeah.
Bell.
Bell, okay. Those would be the big four?
Those are the main ones. Yeah,
okay.
CBC.
Those are the big CBC, yeah, of course. Does the four of you, do you guys ever get together, like the four private ones that aren't CBC to like talk radio ever?
Well, there's conventions and whatnot. And yeah, I mean, I've got friends over there. So yeah, radio is a small group and you never know who's going to hire you next. Now, I don't plan on leaving, but that's not my choice.
Yeah. And context for people that understand Corus, privately owned, public company. What's the kind of
structure?
It's
a public company. Corus is a public company. It's publicly traded. Yeah. And radio is not something that it's struggling these days because of a number of things. But, there's so much more competition today for ear space than there used to be.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some cars that don't even come with an AM radio anymore.
No, it's wild. It's wild. Just the brilliant production of podcasts that are coming out. You know, with Spotify's investing in them, Apple's investing in them, Amazon even has some exclusive, Audible podcasts. It's incredible.
Yeah, part of our audio strategy though is also podcast. So we have talk shows that start on the radio that end up as podcasts. We have podcasts that end up on the radio. So it's all content. And we just sort of distribute it wherever we can.
Yeah, and who can get the next big star, right? Like they exclusively produce content for Corus, for example. Who is that voice? Who is that draw?
Well, we have Crime Beat, the podcast Crime Beat, that we've turned into a TV show. Yeah, because, true crime is really popular.
Incredible. That is incredible. Oh, very popular. Very popular. I don't know if you saw, Disney produced a TV show about a podcast talking about a podcast. So it was called Only Murders in the Building. And Martin Short, Steve Martin, Selena Gomez, are all fans of this one podcast, and they all live in the same building, and there was a murder in the building, and the whole thing is them living out and then producing a true crime podcast in real time. It's incredible.
I got to look it up.
So it's very meta, very meta.
It's awesome.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's great. If you're a fan of podcasts, it's a TV show about podcasts, and the three of those stars together are brilliant together. So
that's great.
So I guess I grew up also watching Michael J. Fox on TV. What was the show? What was that family where he was the younger brother of a bunch of sisters?
Family Ties.
Family Ties. I grew up watching Family Ties, and then Back to the Future, of course. And he is a hometown hero. He's here from Vancouver, right? He grew up in our backyard here. And he has been probably a great voice and an advocate, so people are aware of Parkinson's. And maybe let's talk about, first of all, Michael J. Fox and kind of the work you do with his group there.
Sure. Well, and they just announced yesterday that he's going to get an honorary Oscar this year.
Oh, that's amazing.
So that's pretty cool.
That's very cool.
For his work. They've raised $1 billion since the foundation was started 20 years ago. Yep. It's actually $1.5 billion now. And which is just amazing, but it tells you how much money research costs and the time it takes. I mean, science is slow.
Yeah.
But he's been so dedicated to the research behind science. I mean, that's really what they founded on. He's like, I want to find an end to this, and I really appreciate that. And that's kind of inspired me. When I started my podcast, When Life Gives You Parkinson's in 2018, the Michael J. Fox Foundation reached out to me.
Oh wow!
And they asked me to join the patient council based on the podcast. And there's obviously discussions and whatnot, but that's how it started. And it's been a great experience. I mean, part of the patient council, we meet in person twice a year, but we have monthly calls. And it's actually, they're great friends now too. I mean, it's people from all different walks. I mean, we've had astronauts, we've had former TV news personalities, we've had engineers and doctors, and anybody can get Parkinson's, so you never know who you're going to run into. And what they do is they do a lot of high risk, high reward investment in research, because if you're just doing the same thing over and over again, or just doing the like, well, let's just, we might get some results from this, it'll be easier. It's like, there's no easy way through this. We have to put the money, we got to sort of push our money into the center of the pot and go big. Because it's been 205 years since they discovered Parkinson's, and we're still on the same drugs that they were giving people in 1970.
Wow, that is wild. On that, I was adjuncting, teaching at a university, and the president at the time of this university has Parkinson's. You know, it's everywhere. Right. And I think he was working I think he started like a ride. Again, many people are doing what they can. And again, he journaled about his process. And it was, and again, being a, academic, and a lawyer as well, he was quite articulate about what does it mean to have Parkinson's and operate both as a lawyer and then as a president of a university and his role in that. And trying to shine a light on Parkinson's as well. So, which I love what you're doing. So tell me about PD Avengers, because not only is that a cool name, but it's doing some amazing work. So.
Yeah. So the PD Avengers was founded based on the book Ending Parkinson's Disease. It was written by four of the leading neurologists and researchers in the world. And that happened to be my friends now. And we started a book, like a book club around the start of COVID when the book came out, so we could talk about it and see what we agreed with and what we didn't agree with.
Yeah.
So there's like 12 of us and I invited people to the Zoom, but I didn't tell them who else was invited.
Yeah.
And so the first meeting they show up,
that's
it's like the
cool.
Who's who of the Parkinson's community. And they're like, this is like a superhero convention. And they're like, yeah, like we're like the Avengers.
That's
and somebody goes,
cool.
No, we're the PD Avengers.
Yeah.
And I put that down on the notes.
Avengers, because it's like Avengers Assemble, right? Yeah.
Right, yeah. It's like everybody's bringing their superpowers to the table. And we're working together to solve the problem. We met probably four or five times. And then one of the authors, we invited them all to talk to us individually. And Boz Bloom, who's from the Netherlands, he goes, yeah, this is great that you guys are doing this, but it's a prescription for action. It's not for talking. Mm. And we're like, ooh, okay. So that's when we decided to make it a nonprofit and figure out What do we want to do with it? And we realize there's not a lot of holes, but there's no urgency to Parkinson's because it's such a long disease. People feel, you don't die from it immediately. So, you know, there's other diseases that are more urgent. But would you rather die in 3 years quick, or would you have a suffer for 30 years?
Mm. Yeah.
Unfortunately, we don't have a choice. Yeah. So there's urgency to it. And it's the fastest growing neurological condition in the world. And so we have three pillars, the PD Avengers: wellness, advocacy, and research. And we have three co-founders, and we each oversee one of those. I oversee the advocacy part. And we have a think global, act local mantra, which is we're going to, you know, as an organization, we're going to pull all of our organizations. We have over 100 organizations that we're working with now around the world, from Fox Foundation on down. We have over 5,000 members. And so we meet with the members, we meet with the organizations every month, and we talk about, okay, what can we accomplish together? And then once a year, we build an advocacy campaign that each organization can own through whatever they're about. So like if it's about stigma, it's like, how are you going to push your brand through the stigma circle? Like, I'm not telling you how to do this, but you know, what we did this year is we introduced the Spark, which is a new international symbol for Parkinson's awareness. And it's like a lightning bolt. Wow. And it's to represent sparking a conversation and sparking a movement and really trying to get some action and move and urgency to it.
And is it like the puzzle piece for autism, what they've done?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, you need that. I mean, you need to rally around something that will capture people's attention. You know, the PD Avengers, that's a great name, you know, but we were careful because we're like, well, what if we do get sued by the Avengers? I'm like, well, A, it would be great publicity. But
great.
But I said, we registered under the Global Alliance to End Parkinson's Disease Association, which actually translates better in foreign languages than PD Avengers. It's just like PD doesn't mean anything, and Avengers sounds like we're taking vengeance. Yeah.
So, Larry, I need to ask, which Avenger are you when you guys get together?
Oh, I'm Captain America.
Yeah, perfect. Okay. Great. Who is the Colonel Fury in this situation? Who's behind the scenes making this?
I don't think we've identified all the characters yet. Yeah.
Okay. Just checking in. So what you've done here, the structure, the rising tide rises all boats, the, hey, you know, we're stronger together than apart. It takes a village to solve a problem, find the cure. Do you think other organizations could do this? Because I find, like, call it big C cancer, right? Like, there's often quite a lot of infighting, even like nationally versus provincial. Like, they're all fighting for dollars for their own cancer organization. And then there's their specific type of cancer.
Right. And so what we've done is we've promised we will not compete in fundraising. So we're not a fundraising organization. We are what I like to call a Parkinson's advocacy group, what we told these partners are, what we want to do is amplify what you're doing, and then you have to agree to collaborate with us and our other partners.
Yeah.
And so and we brought them together for the first meeting. There's like, I think 35 of them to start, and it was a great meeting. And in that first meeting, we had a real life example of what we can do. So there was a woman, her name is Amatola Thomas. She's originally from Nigeria. She now lives in the UK. She has Parkinson's, but she founded Parkinson's Africa. And she said, listen, we just launched and we raised $10,000. And I want to buy the medicine, the Sinemet or the levodopa carbidopa, which is the standard gold treatment from 1970 that we're still using. And I want to deliver it to people in Africa. And she goes, I don't know how to buy the medicine, and I don't know how to get it on the ground. And then another organization raised their hand. They said, we know how to get the Sinemet if somebody else can deliver it. And then another organization said, yeah, totally, I can deliver it. In 3 months, we had $10,000 worth of medicine on the ground in Africa in the hands of people who needed it.
It's genius. Everyone brings their own focus, feature, skill set to that table. That's incredible.
And then suddenly everybody perked up and they realized what we were trying to do.
Right. Dang. So what's next for you guys? Do you keep meeting, keep supporting each other? Like, are you going to kind of share this model with other organizations?
Well, I've talked to some other, like ALS and some others that are trying to figure out, like, because every disease should have an organization like ours, which helps bring them out of their silos, brings all these organizations out of their silos and working together. We all own the spark, or nobody owns the spark. Like, the PD Avengers created it with help of the organizations, and then we just gave them the assets. Anybody in the world can use it today. You go to worldparkinsonsday.com. You can send a spark through email or text or social media today just to say, I support it. Or basically, it's a visual representation of the global alliance. And so our next thing is, we just last week I was honored to be invited 2 years ago to begin to participate in a very, about 30 people around the world were invited by the World Health Organization to participate in was the very first workshops for Parkinson's that they've ever done. And over the course of the last couple of years, we've written a technical brief that we launched last week. And this technical brief is basically a 10-year plan to address Parkinson's and set goals for all the member states of the UN. And they, so from like just the basics, making sure you have enough doctors and making sure there's training and making sure you have enough, you know, only 23% of the countries have access to the medication right now. And so, like, there's a lot of issues, and depending on where you are in the world, you know, there needs to be education publicly. So this calls for every year the government needs to invest in a public education campaign. And then there needs to be incentives for neurologists to be there. And so we've established all these protocols, and the UN member states will be held to account. And so that's really exciting. It's a great first step. And the fact that we were able to get the WHO involved is great. I say I was invited, but I kind of invited myself to the meeting. I knew a couple people that were neurologists that were going, and I said, hey, how do I get invited? And they put my name down as Dr. Larry Gifford, and I'm not a doctor, but I was the only person with Parkinson's in the room.
Oh, wow.
And so I'm glad I was there. And that's kind of what I do. I learned a long time ago in radio that guerrilla marketing is really important, and you do what you can to get where you need to be. And so and then last week they had me as part of their 2-hour webinar launch as part of the advocacy part of that.
That's incredible. That's really cool. Are you feeling ready for the rapid fire round?
Let's do it.
That's it. All right. Here we go. What was your first ever job?
I was a newspaper boy. I delivered newspapers.
Okay.
So that was like when I was 12 and a half. I don't think that you can do that when you're 12 and a half anymore. But that was good money. But then I worked at Dairy Queen most through high school.
Okay. Night owl or early bird?
Well, both. With Parkinson's, I get a, I don't sleep well. So anywhere from 2 to 5 hours a night.
Yeah.
So like last night I was up till 2. I got up at 7:30, got 5 hours of sleep, and that's my day. I'll take a nap later. So I'm both early and late.
Okay. Cat or dog person?
Dog.
Nice. First thing that you ever marketed?
Oh, first thing. I would have to say I was part of the launch of Fox Sports Radio in Los Angeles. And that was the first really big project that I had worked on. It was really exciting to be a part of that team and really, you know, launch a national network. That was cool.
Yeah, that is awesome. Very cool. Dark or milk chocolate?
Dark.
Nice. Favorite word right now?
Favorite word, I just said a word the other day and I was like, I can't believe I just said that in a sentence. Not trying to think what it was, but it was, but I like rapscallion. It's a good word.
Okay, nice. Last charity you supported financially or with your time and why?
So the last charity I just wrote, just donated to Parkinson's UK in the United Kingdom because a buddy of mine is currently right now on a mega triathlon to raise money and awareness for Parkinson's. He is running from one of the arches in London to the water, where he will cross the with the, like, 21 miles of rowing to get to the other side of the water, and then he's going to bicycle to Paris. So it's like, all told, it's like, it's an unbelievable, it's like, it's crazy amount of miles to run and bike and swim. And so I can't even imagine doing it. So I just, it's who I last supported.
Okay. What's a movie that you just love, you could watch over and over again?
I can watch over and over, well, Harry Potter's. But, you know, with the kid in the house and with my, you know, it's always good fare, you know. There's other movies I could watch over and over, but it would probably not be appropriate with a 13-year-old in the room.
Great. That's great. Your favorite album or song on repeat right now?
Oh, I like upbeat stuff. It's so funny. My son just watched Top Gun, and so the Top Gun theme is right now our current favorite. And yeah. So he cranks that 83 times a day.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. Now, if you weren't doing this job you do right now, what would you be doing in another multiverse?
Oh, I would be a teacher. I actually did substitute teaching for 2 years in between jobs. And I love everything I do is teaching. Like when I'm coaching, when I'm working with charities or whatever, like at heart, I'm a teacher.
Nice. What's an app on your phone you just can't live without?
Oh, the app on my phone that I can't live without. Yahtzee.
Yeah, great. Perfect. It's a good one. And your favorite children's book?
Mrs. Frisbee and the Rats of Nim.
Nice. Best thing you ever bought for under $10?
The best thing I ever bought for under $10 is probably coffee.
Yeah, great. What's the most important thing you ever changed your mind about?
I was a Republican in the United States for a long time because my family was a Republican family.
Yeah.
And I've now become an independent because I don't want to be associated with any of the parties.
Okay.
And I think that's been the most important thing I could do.
Okay. There you go. Business or marketing book you'd recommend?
Oh, so many good ones. But there, Seth Godin has some really good ones. He did one, and I'm trying to think what the name of it is, but on the jacket, they had all the pictures of like people that have read his books, and I'm on there. So that's my favorite one.
Oh, that's cool.
I got it somewhere. But like, so he gave like 24 hours for people to send in their photo.
Yeah.
And then he put like, there's like 1,000 little tiny pictures you have to find yourself, but like, I'm on it.
Oh, that's cool. That's really cool. What's a podcast that you'd recommend?
I've got several. Let me pull up my, I listen to a ton of podcasts. I love podcasts for a lot of different reasons. I Spy is a good one if you want to get into like real people that have been like CIA agents, and every episode is just one person's story about one mission. Mm-hmm. And it's really cool.
Okay. Newsletter or website you'd recommend for resources and inspiration?
I'm inspired by a lot of different things. I love going to YouTube and getting down a rabbit hole. Last night, I was watching Robin Williams' first appearance on The Tonight Show, followed by 10 years later, he and Jonathan Winters on The Tonight Show. And for me, I actually do improv comedy with a troupe of people who have Parkinson's, by the way, which is, you know, funny just to begin with, a bunch of people shaking on stage. Can't remember words, but that's okay. It's fun.
Yeah.
And so for me, that I find a lot of creative inspiration just looking at people's videos and stuff.
Yeah, that's cool. Life hack that you'd be willing to share?
Ooh, so I'm actually, I've got a lot of them. This is something, I have Parkinson's balance issues. This is something my occupational therapist taught me. And I'm like, I was resistant. And it's actually the best thing I ever did is I invested in a shower chair. I know it sounds weird, but like for me,
not
it's hard to multitask. So if you're there on a slippery floor with water coming down, your eyes are closed, your head's backwards. I'm like holding on the wall, trying not to fall and wash my hair. But you sit there in a shower chair and like, it's the most relaxing shower I've ever had because I don't have to do multiple things.
Yeah, that's great. What about this one? As you're looking to grow your organization, as you see young people up and coming going into your organization, what do you think is the big best skills needed for this kind of new era of people going into the job market?
Well, they need to know how to write on multiple levels. They need to be able to write for the eyes and the ears, yeah, which are two different skills. And they need to, without question, they need to just know all the basics around computing. Like, I actually, one of my jobs, I hired a guy, found out later, he was bringing his wife to work every night with him. I'm like, what's going on? Like, that's not really appropriate. He's like, I don't know how to use the internet.
Hey.
I'm like, this was a while ago. But like, so, but there's more examples of that, yeah, today, where there's so many different things. So you want to find people that are curious, that are wanting to grow. I like to hire people that are smarter, yeah, than me, because I get bored, yep, if I'm the smartest guy in, yep, the room. So I find curious people will dig deeper. And I like that because I like learning. And, yep, so, you know, that's why I listen to a lot of podcasts. That's, yep, why people listen to podcasts, radio, yep, and whatnot, is because they want to learn something new.
Yeah. Okay. That's amazing. Where can people find you and learn more about your organizations?
Yeah. So it's pdavengers.com. And also, you could go to worldparkinsonsday.com, nice, and just Google Larry Gifford and you'll find my podcast, you know, Larry Gifford and Parkinson's. It's called When Life Gives You Parkinson's.
It's amazing. Larry, thank you for being here. Real pleasure.
Oh, Darian, this is a pleasure.
Thank you again for being here. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Marketing News Canada, and we'll see you next time on the show.
Thanks for listening to Marketing News Canada. For more episodes and other great stories from Canadian marketers, visit marketingnewscanada.com. All episodes are recorded in the Jelly Marketing Studio, thanks to our producer, Chris Penner, and editors Travis Jeffers and the Podfather.